This is Get a Real Job, the podcast devoted to people who choose risk over safe bets, who pursue their passion against all odds and are doing what they want, how they want, despite people and sometimes the voices in their own heads telling them they're nuts.
When the field that I wanted to work in didn't exist, I created it.
The only thing you have to decide is how hard do you want to work.
I really never went into the design of the restaurant of not succeeding. One way or another, I was going to succeed.
I'm your host, Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com. Thanks for listening. And now, get a real job.
Okay, hey, so this is Dan recording from a pillow fort in my basement because I failed to buy a home with a podcast studio in it. So I love the TV show Modern Family, and I love bars. So today's guest is truly bringing a ray of sunshine to my little corner of the world, the hilarious Ty Burrell. Ty, welcome.
Thank you. I didn't know I occupied the entirety of your Venn diagram. That's
fantastic. You truly do. So great to talk to you for many reasons.
Thanks for having me on.
So most people know you as Phil Dunphy on Modern Family, for which you've won multiple Emmy Awards, and you should have won more, damn it. But let's first talk about an amazing project that you've helped launch, the Tip Your Server Relief Plan. Can you explain what this is? And I'll just sit back and listen.
Yeah. Well, thank you, first of all, for letting me talk about it. It's obviously just a bizarre and difficult time everywhere right now. Unfortunately, Salt Lake City has been hit twice. It's where my wife and I and our daughters call home. But in the midst of this pandemic, they've been hit by multiple earthquakes. They were first hit by a 5.7 earthquake, and then enough aftershocks that it's lasted. You know, they're basically just other earthquakes, and
yeah,
those aftershocks have been in the above 4.0. And so these restaurants, food and bar, we are small business owners in Salt Lake City. We have a couple of bars there. We have another business. We have Beer Bar and Bar X, which are in downtown Salt Lake City with my brother and some other extended family members. That's a whole other story that will take an hour to explain how we're all related.
Okay.
And we have another business that's opening soon called the Cotton Bottom Inn. But at the moment, the restaurants were, you know, hit by COVID. The takeout portion of this that has helped so many restaurants to stay alive has been affected as well because of some restaurants having to shut down for structural issues. So, you know, we're reaching out a little bit beyond Salt Lake to even a national scale to see if people who have the means might be able to help some of the unemployed restaurant workers. And it's all people in that food and beverage industry. Basically, in Salt Lake, it's around 15,000 of them.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're trying to provide a stopgap to get folks by with whatever amount we get, and something that's immediate. We're actually going to try to start putting out our first checks on Monday to get people, you know, to buy until we get to the, you know, the stimulus package that was signed last night and the things like even unemployment if they're able to get to it.
Well, I mean, it's an amazing thing that you're doing. And, you know, first, let me say I'm, you know, happy to hear that you and your family are safe and well during this. So,
thank you
know,
you, yeah.
So people who want to participate in this, there's a website. It's downtownslc.org/tipyourserver. And so the plan is to provide $2,000 grants to employees. And if I could just brag a little bit on your behalf, Ty and his wife Holly have made an initial contribution of $100,000 to the grant program. So I think that's pretty amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. We feel really connected to that community, and it's really our home. We're in the process of moving there full time before all this happened, but we wish we could do even more. But we're hoping that we can raise enough money to make it, you know, meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, in the meantime, just hoping that all of those unemployed folks, along with everybody else, just stays safe and well.
Absolutely. So how long, what drew you to, you know, this business? I'm a big fan of yours. I didn't know that you were a bar owner as well. How long have you been doing that, and what drew you to it?
Well, I can't take credit in multiple areas here, because this idea for the first bar, the liquor laws in Salt Lake City were, you know, for a long time, kind of notoriously arcane and difficult. And John Huntsman, when he was the governor, began the process of normalizing the laws. And this is around 2008, I believe. And one of our owners, one of our primary owners, Jeff Bernard, came to us and said, you know, the liquor laws are changing. Salt Lake City doesn't have like a proper craft cocktail bar. It seems like it'd be a fun, you know, fun thing for all of us to do, and a good opportunity. And the further we went down that road, the more excited we got about it. My brother and his operating partner, Richard Noel, went and, you know, got trained at a really high level in Seattle. And that was really the beginning, which, you know, that's just to say that the idea was brought to us.
Mm.
But once we got into it, you know, we've just really, it's a great business. It's a business that brings people together.
Yeah.
And in Salt Lake City, sort of a late bloomer. I don't know if you know much about the city, but.
All I know about it is from, like, you know, shows like, Big Love. So I'm, you know, I've never been there.
So,
yeah.
Right. I don't think you're alone, though. I think that's kind of the normal perception of what Salt Lake is.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting place, and I don't want to sell it too much because we don't want too many people to move there. But
right.
It's a very kind of progressive enclave in Utah, and it's a late bloomer, meaning a lot of these liquor laws and stuff have changed recently, so the nightlife is really starting to blossom there, but it's growing fast. So where are you at? Where are you calling from?
New York.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you in New York City?
No. So our offices are in New York City, but we're closed. So I'm just in Westchester, just north of the city.
Good. Okay. And are you're doing well? Are you holding up out there?
Yeah. We're doing well. You know, the technology now, the ability to communicate with each other, you know, and let people know what's going on. It's really been amazing, you know, because my wife and I keep talking about, if this was like, you know, in the 80s or even 10 years ago, like you would not know what was going on. But now you're constant communication. So that part of it has been amazing.
It feels like some of this we're not going to want to lose, you know.
Yeah.
Touch wood, assuming that we come through this in a way that, or, you know, people are able to sort of get by and survive. But some of this, there are things like air quality, the ability to maybe have more time with your family and still be able to accomplish some of the things that maybe we won't go back on.
So what are you, what are you doing personally, in your family? Like, how are you staying sane? That's what, you know, everyone wants to know. Everyone's sort of like bouncing off the walls. A lot of us are streaming you on our TVs. So, like, what are you streaming? Like, what are you doing?
Well, I think like everybody else, like, there's a lot of failure happening in my family right now, too. Like, we're trying to stay as sane as possible. But I think everybody's had moments of you know, losing our temper or feeling a little bit out of our own skin.
Right.
But that said, I feel like we're doing, you know, relatively well. We're really doubled down on the structure. I don't, know if it's for better or worse, but we have we've really scheduled our weekdays all the way through to bedtime for our daughters.
Mm.
And I think it's been a good thing. You know, I wouldn't prescribe it for anybody. Every family is different, but for us, it's been good in terms of, you know, including like exercise and all that stuff. But
right.
We're definitely watching more, you know, in a way to avoid the news. I think we're watching more movies and shows.
Mm.
I think right now queued up, my wife and I, after the girls have gone to bed, we're working between All of Me, you know, Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin,
yeah.
Which is really, it really holds up.
Yeah.
Great, great film. And Frantic. Did you ever see that?
The
movie?
Harrison Ford movie?
With Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awesome movie and not at all relaxing.
I mean, that one we're watching in smaller doses to try to keep our anxiety at bay. Yeah.
That's interesting you say Steve Martin. Has he been an influence on you? With Phil Dunphy,
huge.
I see some Steve Martin in there.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Honestly, I mean, among the most influential people in my life. I mean, in terms of, like, performing, I would say Steve Martin and Albert Brooks and Lily Tomlin and some of the early Whoopi Goldberg when she was doing one woman shows.
Oh yeah.
And honestly, the person who has influenced me the most as a performer is somebody who I've gotten to work with a lot, and that's Fred Willard.
Oh yeah.
Fred is to me the most influential performer of my lifetime.
Mm.
And I just mean as a performer, you know, there are people like Albert Brooks and Steve Martin who've written a lot of their own material. And Fred's always, you know, for the most part, done it either improvised or with scripted stuff. But he knows this very well. I've communicated it to him many times, but I've just basically stolen everything I can from him.
I think
he's brilliant.
When he was, you know, has been on the show as your dad, it's been like incredible the way you guys really seem like father and son. It's unbelievable. That's great.
We got really close.
Oh, that's great. I was wondering about, you know, acting and, you know, owning a bar. Obviously, you've had some success before that, but those are not the two easiest ways to find success in life. They're both quite hard.
Yeah, that's true.
when you were starting out as an actor, you know, did you have a backup plan? Did you give yourself a deadline? Oh, I need to get a good gig by this date, or I'm going to become a CPA. Like, what was your mindset?
You know, I didn't. And it's not because I didn't want one, because the industry really does beat you down. It's a very, very, like, mentally exhausting business to try to be in. But the truth is, it sounds like a joke, but the truth really is I have no other skill set. Like, I just can't do anything else. There was a point at which, when I was about, this is before Modern Family, I was probably 39 or something. And I just really, like, I was, you know, you're dealing with a failure rate in close to like 98% or 99%.
Yeah.
So it's really rough. Like, you know, you go out 3 or 4 times a week on auditions and it's just one failure after another. As I was headed towards 40, I was like, I don't think this is sustainable. Like, you know, I don't know if psychologically I can handle this. Like, some people can, and some people are mentally tough enough for that. I think I was just, you know, not sensing that it was not going to do me well. And we sat down actually at one point and we're like, okay, let's come up with a list of things that I can do. And after like an hour, we had nothing on the list. There was nothing there. It was like, I would say something and she'd go, no, you couldn't do that. And then she would say something and I'd go, no, I couldn't do that. I'm not, I don't have that ability.
That's hilarious.
I think we landed on, you know, maybe I could possibly teach, okay. You know, teach acting or something like that. And that was kind of it. So, and honestly, that was pretty close to when I went down for, what I thought was going to be my last pilot season, and, ended up eventually after a lot of auditions getting Modern Family. So
That's
funny how that goes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Did you have any kind of mantras or any kind of thing that you would like fall back on to like pick yourself up if an audition didn't go the way you wanted it to?
I did actually, and I don't know if you're a sports fan, but I use baseball, specifically batting.
Ah, yep.
As my inspiration.
Perfect.
I'm an obsessive baseball fan. I'm a huge Mets fan, actually.
Same here.
Are you a Mets fan in Westchester?
Yeah, I married into a Mets family, so I had no choice.
I love it. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, but not Syndergaard, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would watch baseball. You know, I watched baseball all summer along with my family. Everybody in my family watches baseball, and watching a batter fail over and over and over again, but seeing sort of the mental approach of trying to step in and have it be, you know, each at bat be its own thing.
Yeah.
And dealing with slumps, you know, when a batter deals with slumps, they rely on their technique. They, you know, you've heard that term, they sort of grind out at bats. If they're not feeling it, if they're, you know, they're not raking, then they go back to their techniques and they just basically try to grind out at bats and use their fundamentals to kind of just eke out a base hit.
Yeah.
And that's really what I did for years, was because when you're feeling it, this is true in acting and I think of everything, and probably of everything, when you're really feeling it, you don't really need to think much about anything. If you're in a groove, this has just been my experience anyway, I would, you know, you could walk into auditions and do really well and feel great. It's more about when you're slumping. And this is probably true of a lot more than acting in baseball, but when you're slumping, you kind of need something to fall back on. And I just found that, you know, fundamentals and technique was what I would try to go back to, and it seemed to help. But, you know, yeah. At a certain point, baseball players retire, you know, in their late 30s.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much longer I could have done it, but that was what I tried anyway.
And it also helps for baseball players if their teammates are banging on a garbage can to let them know what pitch is coming. So,
I didn't have anybody with binoculars in the bleachers for me, unfortunately.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that you are, so Modern Family, I believe, was going into your last season, and you're starting your own production company. Is that right? Or you?
Yeah. I am. I have I guess you call it an overall deal with Disney and, you know, Disney et al., Disney and all of the entities that they purchased. And
everything in the known universe. Right. Okay.
Everything in the known universe. So I'm kind of going back into the same thing as when, you know, I was acting. The percentage of getting things on the air is not high producing.
Right.
So I've got to, but I think it'll be good for me, you know, just psychologically to go back and start taking swings again, get back in the batter's box.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Well, this is, you know what, I almost just called you Phil, which I don't know if that happened to you a lot.
you wouldn't be the first.
Yeah.
I don't think it is an insult, so you're fine.
Well, it's been really awesome talking to you, and I just want to remind everyone about the website and the program that you're helping to promote, a great program. It's downtownslc.org/tipyourserver, helping people have been very hit pretty hard in Utah. So I think it's amazing what you're doing there.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate you giving me a minute to talk about it.
Absolutely.
I appreciate everyone's support.
Excellent, excellent. And when they say play ball again, the Mets are going all the way this year, right?
I genuinely believe that. I mean, I have been accused of being too much of an optimist by right. my brother every year, but I really believe we're going to win it all.
I'm gonna take your word for that, and I will believe it too.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, hey, okay. Thanks so much. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Dan.
All
I
right,
appreciate
take
it.
Care.
Be well.
Okay.
That's our episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Get a Real Job comes out every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you harvest your favorite podcasts. Leave us a review, give us a share, and make it big, people. Go to entrepreneur.com for new episodes of this and to listen to our other great podcasts. Thanks.